Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Gentrio Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Murphy. Joining me today is the founder and CEO of Gentrio, Renee Fry. Welcome in.
Thank you.
So I know that you're a big pet owner. Would that be a bit of an understatement?
Yeah, my son accuses me of loving our dog as much as him and sometimes more.
So one of the things that I know is not really known about Gentrio is how involved we are with pets. Can you talk a little bit on that?
Sure. Pets, a lot of people think are a living relative, like a child or something like that. Unfortunately, in the eyes of estate planning, they're not a relative or a child. They have to be treated like a thing. So meaning they need to be named in your will who's going to take care of your pet. Or in certain circumstances, sometimes it makes sense to set up funding for your pet through like a pet trust. And so a lot of folks, again, they want to treat their pets like a person and like a child, but unfortunately, eyes of the courts, that's just not the case. So I think with pets, the one thing that we try to get people to do is understand that you really do have to name who you want to care for your pet. And some of the documents that we've put together for Gentrio are some things like the pet trust. And so a pet trust is how you can fund making sure that your pet gets the money and who's going to get money to take care of that pet. And then also one of the other documents that we have is something called a pet power of attorney. A pet power of attorney is something that, for instance, we went on vacation a couple weeks ago and Butter, who's 14 and a half now and has some health issues, she had a babysitter and someone who stayed with her for the week. But if something had happened to Butter, we wanted to make sure that she was taken care of and that the person taking care of her had the opportunity to be able to make decisions on her behalf. And whether it was, for instance, making sure that she could get surgery if needed and up to a certain amount, or if something really happened and she had to be put down, that he could make the humane decision to do that as well. And those decisions are something that if you don't have documents in place, they can't be made. Because if the person is not the pet owner, a lot of veterinarians and care facilities will not make a decision for a person who's not the owner because they don't want to be held liable.
So just breaking down that document, because that is a lot of information, you know, the pet is not considered to be something that can have its own document for it, correct? It's considered property.
Yep, it's property.
So this document not only allows you to allocate assets towards your pet specifically, but also establish that trust that a doctor or a veterinarian can rely on and be confident in making a medical decision that they're going to get paid.
That's the pet power of attorney, and the pet power of attorney gives someone the right to be able to make decisions. And you're right that a lot of times the veterinarian wants to make sure that if they're making medical things happen that they're going to get paid. And so this document is something that you can share with the veterinarian or the care facility and say, this has been approved by the owner and they are willing to be held legally responsible to pay the fees to help save their pet.
So this is a relatively new, document in the estate planning industry. Why do you think that people would care about having a document like this as a part of their estate planning?
We get the saddest stories. So one of my friends, he was caring for someone's pet, and the pet was older, and the pet had, I think, probably what was a heart attack. It was just a very sad story, but the vet would not put the pet down because he wasn't the owner. He was just the pet babysitter, and so the person he was caring for the pet for, she was traveling throughout Europe and couldn't be reached, and so the poor pet suffered for probably about 3 or 4 days where really didn't need to, but the vet didn't want to be held liable for putting someone's pet down that he didn't know if that was what she wanted or not, or if the person that he was, who brought the pet in, was allowed to make those decisions. So it really is something that people are dealing with every day. It's just not something that we think about because we just assume everything will be okay. But in the world we live in, people want to make sure that one, they're going to get paid, and two, that people making decisions have permission to make those decisions.
I feel like today, in today's world, pets are considered to be more a part of the family than they were before. Do you think that that's why you've seen such an increase in people actually caring about these kind of documents?
I think so. I can remember when we were children growing up, and this is where if I told my dad that my pet was, part of the family or something like that, he'd say, yeah, but wouldn't have necessarily the emotions that we express now toward making sure that our dog has a babysitter, making sure that our dog gets to go on vacation with us when possible. And just thinking back, comparing those times from a personal perspective, I can tell you that, yeah, it's a different world. We treated our pets obviously like family and stuff growing up, but I think if we'd ever told our father legally that our dog needed to be made sure they're going to be taken care of or something, he would have been quite skeptical. But in the world we live in today, we want to make sure that really I's are dotted and T's are crossed, because when there's money involved, there's decisions involved, you really need to make sure those are documented and there's a history of decisions, because people, we all have blended, a lot of us have blended families now, relationships change, we move to multiple states. And so, since pets are part of the family, you want to make sure that you're taking all the steps necessary to protect them like you would other parts of your other family members.
Yeah, I know certainly for people my age, people in their young adults in their 20s are sometimes even choosing just to have a pet instead of having children. So these documents I'm sure would resonate with that age group in particular. I know we've been talking about these documents in the context of taking a pet on vacation or leaving a pet behind on vacation, making sure they're cared for. But what about the more extremes? What about if I have an animal and I was to pass away unexpectedly, would these documents be able to cover that more extreme case as well?
Yeah, so definitely putting your pet in your will, because your pet in the eyes of the courts is a thing. And so you need to say who is going to get your pet. And there are lots of stories that abound of people who are suing each other for pets, or they thought they should get the pet. And so it is something that you really want to make sure that you choose the caregiver. And too many stories are out there about where they can't find a caregiver and pets go to shelters and can be put down if they can't find someone to take care of them. So it's not just about naming a person, but also going through the process of finding out who is going to care for your pet and take care of your pet if they outlive you.
I know when we think about pets as a concept, most people's mind will go to cats and dogs and maybe a rabbit or a bird. But for the more expensive and I would say complicated, intricate pets like say horses or even I don't want to call them livestock, but say you have cows on your property, would this be able to apply even to them?
Yeah, they're assets. Yeah. And so this is something that horses, especially, like there's a lot of estate planning that goes into things around horses and making sure that the horses, who the owner is and how those horses are going to be cared for. That was probably one of the first places that I actually saw some of the estate planning take place, is in for horses. And then livestock and other things, those are often treated as assets. And so more commonly put into asset in documents and things around that, be an asset class, or more specifically like from farmers and standpoints like that, they're arranged for how they want to be cared for.
I suppose that would make sense considering that's where this really started, since horses and livestock are where they're actually money-making animals, and now it's good to see that it's extended to just the everyday home animal.
Yeah, although none of us, I don't know too many people like mine, our dog Butter. Butter's part of the family. And so we really want to make sure that she's always taken care of. And especially since we had Butter before we had our son. And so she was the first child.
My mom won't appreciate me telling him this story, but I remember always poking jokes at her when my little brother got a rabbit, and we used to have this little gaming room downstairs where me and my two brothers would play video games on Saturday mornings, and it ended up turning into the bunny's room. And I would poke fun that my mom liked the bunny more than me because she would go down every day and give the rabbit fresh lettuce and turn on the news for it. Meanwhile, I would get a knock on the door, get up out of bed, get your chores done.
So, Butter has a breakfast routine. We have to make sure she gets her medication. I leave the lights on for her, and so sometimes my husband come home and say, "Why is the TV on? Why are the lights on? And no one's home." And we're like, "What do you mean no one was home? Butter was home." Although we've yet to figure out that she likes any TV shows better than others. But one of our friends, my friend Kimberly, she has poodles. Her family has poodles that enjoy anything that have dogs in the show. And so they try to find any show with dogs that their own dogs can sit and watch, because she's shown us videos where they're completely mesmerized.
It is it's good that I think at least it's good that people are getting more accepting over the concept that pets are just a part of the family, even though we call them, our pets and we own them. But I do think that it's there's nothing but positives of people being more accepting of that way of thinking and making sure that these animals can be protected in the proper ways should, the worst happen.
Yeah, no, and it's being proactive,
Yeah.
right? And being
The
it's
same way you would with a person. Why would you not do that with your pet?
And so that's where we encourage people to say, you don't know when something's going to happen, so be prepared. Because when things are good, right, and everyone's happy and healthy, including your pet, it's a lot easier to do things than when something happens and all of a sudden there's an emergency or something, not good is happening. It just makes things a lot harder to do. So whether it's your pet or your people, right, it's your family. And so making sure that you're taking the steps to protect your family is something that we think is really important. And that's why with Gentrio, we wanted to make it sure that people get to update their documents anytime. They get to add new pets if they want to. You can add new family members, which again, I think our pets are family members. But it's about making sure that as your life changes, Gentry is there with you across your life, and that includes your pets.
And is it just the pet trust that's available and the pet power of attorney?
Yep, or you can write your will, and you can put your pet into your will as well. And then there's information there too, like pet information cards, so that you could share through your digital vault information if you do have someone who's sitting, maybe a pet sitter that's coming for day or two, but you want to make sure they know your pet's medical information, who your pet's veterinarian is, how to contact that. All that can be stored in your Gentrio digital vault and shared with your pet sitter. And so you don't have to share your other information like your assets and things like that, but you can share information specific to your pet so that it's right there in their back pocket. They can pull out their phone, they can get to Gentrio, they can get the information that you've shared with them. And so now, instead of having to carry around a card or information or making up a packet, they just hit a few buttons and there's your veterinary information, the pet's medication, even things like daily routine. Like our dog likes to go for walks in the evening, not necessarily in the morning because she hasn't woken up yet. But you can put all of that now online instead of having to rewrite it each and every time that you go away for a day or two. You can keep that information and share it with whomever is relevant, and make sure that they have the most up-to-date current information, and that you can also change whoever you want to have access to at any time.
I think that's important too, because I think typically when we think about estate planning, we think about big crisis situations when you need these important documents. But, I think that's what Gentry has done really well is kind of change the way people can think about estate planning, where in this situation, you have your pet, say you have a pet sitter coming over. It doesn't have to be only access this in a crisis. It can be, hey, you're coming over for the weekend. Let me just forward you along my pet's information card. It doesn't have to be a big deal, a big scare to get that kind of email. It can just be, oh, yeah, this is just the information I'll need instead of a note on the fridge that may be incomplete. And then I got to call you, heaven knows where you are in the world to figure it out.
I think that's a great point. And this again, so Gentrio is built to stay with people throughout their lives, because it's all these types of moments that you really want to make sure you're taking care of the people and your pets and the things you love.
Yeah. What did you think about who was it? Was it Betty White and her dogs?
Cats.
Cats, that's
I think
right.
they're
She had
cats,
cats.
right?
I keep confusing her and the Queen of England because I know the Queen of England had dogs, and there was
The
also a story
corgis.
there. Yeah. Probably a little more complicated estate plan around a pet.
Yeah, so I don't know how much money the cats inherited, but I do know they're going to be well taken care of. But that's why you have documents like these, so that when she passed away, she knew that her pets were going to be protected, that they had people who were going to not have to worry about could they afford, cat chow, could they afford taking the cats to the vets. And that's really the idea behind why these documents have gotten so important, is that making sure that you can care for the people and the pets that you love when you can't be there for them. And that's not just when you pass away, but it's maybe you're incapacitated, maybe you're traveling. It's setting up these things so that when you're not there, people know what you want to have happen. And I think with the Betty Whites and stuff of the world, their pets are probably incredibly blessed with millions of gazillions of dollars. And maybe we can't all do that, but we can let people know our intentions and give them the best chance of having those intentions be carried out.
At least avoid the situations where they end up in a shelter and
Yeah, no.
ultimately avoid the chance of being put down, which no one wants to see.
Yeah, but or and just even picking who they want to go to. So, for instance, our mom has a dog, and hopefully, our mom outlives her dog. But at the same time, we knew that we would be the perfect people to take care of her dog, at least in our minds. And so, we put that into the document, in her documents, so that when the time comes, she just doesn't have to worry. She knows that we can take care of her dog, and his name is Blue. And so Blue can take up residency in Massachusetts, even though he's in Illinois right now. But the idea being that it's all taken care of, and we don't have to worry about who's taking care of him, how he's getting taken care of. And also, really, just when things are happening, the worst, when bad things happen, you want to make sure you're prepared. And not figuring out who's helping out, who's doing what. You really want to know and check the box and just know that things are going to be taken care of.
And have it done beforehand too, because I mean, we're talking about pets, but even in, the other matters of estate planning, if something happens, it typically is not gonna, it's not gonna be an easy road for at least the short term. So you don't want to be dealing with this kind of stuff. You want to have it figured out. And too many people, both for their pets and for their own documents, just they wait too long. So if there are pet owners listening or anyone who wants to get their own documents done, where how can they get started here?
So Gentrio.com, Gentrio.com. And the reason we called it Gentrio means three generations, because so many of us are caring for maybe our parents, our own families, maybe we have children that have families as well. And so it really is something that has to cross generations, and your documents have to be updated and kept in a place where you can find them, where they're a couple clicks away. And that includes everything around the pet, your pet as well, because pets are family. So Gentrio.com, and we have lots and lots of articles, blogs, and videos and things on how you can take care of your pets and how estate planning relates to pets. So please visit, learn more, and no matter what, that's one thing we encourage people, is that learn, learn, learn. We love when people do, but if there's things that you want to learn or ask questions about, Gentrio.com is a great place to visit.
All right. Renee, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate having you.
Thanks.